These are important words. I use these words in the liturgy of every wedding that I have the honor to perform. I work this bit of scripture in there. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are good words for a young couple or older couple or any couple getting married to hear these words. I go on, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Another good bit of advice, I think. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Good words for couples. But then we go on in this scripture. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you were called to peace. Now, he's not talking to young couples. He's talking to the church. As you were called together into one body. And be thankful. Good advice. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Great words, great meaning, great power, great impact, as succinct a description as can be found anywhere of what we are called to be and to do as God's people in the church. Compassionate, kind, humble, meek, which means teachable, patient, forgiving, loving, harmonious, peaceful. We will be learners and teachers full of heartfelt songs, and whatever we do will be done in the name of Jesus. This is amazing. It's a wow moment. I mean, that is the way that it is in churches, right? All of them? Not always. Not always. I do like what a pastor said one time when he described his church as something that you could learn from geese. He said, for example, that the V formation in which geese fly, science has discovered why they do that, and it has been learned that each bird flaps its wings as they do so. The whole flock adds at least 17% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. They fly close together. They lift each other up. It's a great lesson for us as Christians, because we who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where we are going quicker and easier because we are traveling on the thrust and the uplift of one another. And I just don't mean those in the past. That's an important understanding, that we sit under trees that we did not plant. We sit in pews that we did not build. We are people who are recipients of tremendous grace and work from other people. But what about today? Are we lifting each other up? Here's another thing. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly can feel the drag and the resistance of trying to get it, go it alone. And quickly they get back into formation to take advantage of that lifting power of the bird immediately in front of them. Another good lesson, stay in formation, stay together, stick together, or there you pay a price. I mean, many of you have dropped out of a church from time to time. Someone may have said an unkind word or failed to say a kind word, or work or travel schedules prevented any kind of regular attendance. Sometimes or something or somebody made you angry, maybe even God. Did dropping out make you a better person? Probably not. If we have as much sense as a goose, we will stay in formation with those who are headed in the same direction that we are going. Because researchers have also noted that when the lead goose gets tired, the one that he rotates back and another one comes forward to take the lead. That's a valuable point there. Too often in the church, the same faithful few do most of the work. And the statistics are generally 20 and 80. You know, 20% do the work, 80% watch. But that is unfortunate, because folks get burned out that way. The message of the goose is to take turns doing the hard jobs. It is far better for everyone. And have you ever listened to geese when they fly? It can be noisy, can't they? I mean, when I'm out on my little bike trips on the trails and such, if any of them are flying over, which I haven't heard any so far this year, but you can tell them when they're coming. And by the way, this works for bicycling too. Now, I know all of you care about this, so, you know, I'll... But when I end up at a campground after a long day, my friends for years, they would say, how do you stay so fresh? Because while they're climbing into their tents, you know, falling apart, I'm going into town to get food and stuff like that. And I said, well, it's you know, finally I fessed up to it. It's really easy. You know when I'm like an inch away from your saddle? I always pick big friends because they make a big lot of wind behind them that I can tuck myself in behind it. And I really am a lot safer that way. And yesterday I did a bike ride, and as I'm pulling into the parking lot, there were like 30 bikes that came by just a whoosh down. And they were as close as they could be, which was really scary because they didn't know what they were doing. But anyway, they were really close. And what I heard them saying to each other was encouraging. You can do it. You can do it. Pull a little faster. You got it. Come on. Drop back. I got it now. And they're encouraging each other. I mean, I noticed the geese do it, but humans do this too. Now, how about when you see them on the ground? Geese, they never put all of their heads down at once, do they? Have you ever see a flock of geese with, nope. Somebody keeps their head up. Somebody or a few of them will keep on guard, watching for predators while everybody else feeds. The guards are not putting their heads down until the other geese look up, and then they can go down. The church should be doing that too, guarding and protecting each other. And then here's a really important one. When a goose gets sick or is wounded and falls out, do you know what happens? You'd say a goose goes with them, right? No, this is what's so brilliant. Two go with them. Two of them fly to down and so that one can protect and the other can help to feed that injured animal. They will stay there until the injured one can fly or dies. And then they launch out on their own with another formation to catch up with their original group. I mean, it is an amazing thing we can learn from geese. But here's a story. I love this story. It's an Ann Landers column. You can learn a lot from Ann Landers. But listen to this story, though, because I think many of you will resonate with this. I am 46 years old, divorced with 3 grown children. After several months of chemotherapy following a mastectomy for breast cancer, I was just starting to put my life together when my doctor called with the results of my last checkup. I was devastated. More cancer. My relatives had not been supportive. I was the first person in the family to have cancer, and they didn't know how to behave towards me. They tried to be kind, but I had the feeling that they were afraid that I was contagious. They kept their distance and called on the phone to see how I was doing, and this really hurt. Last Sunday, I headed for the laundromat. You see the same people there. You say good morning and make small talk. I was trying not to look depressed, but my spirits were really low. As I was taking my laundry out of the car, I looked up and saw a man, one of the regulars, leaving with his bundle. He smiled and said, "Good morning. How are you today?" I lost control of myself. And I said, "This is the worst day of my life. I have more cancer." And then I began to cry. And he put his arms around me and just let me sob. And then he said, "I understand. My wife has been where you have been." And after a few minutes, I felt better. And I thanked him for his understanding, proceeded with my laundry. But about 15 minutes later, in comes the man and his wife. She walked over to me and without saying a word, hugged me and said, "Feel free to talk to me. Once I was where you are now, I know what you are going through. And I can't tell you how much that meant to me." Here was this total stranger taking her time to give me emotional support and courage to face the future at a time when I was ready to give up. I hope God gives me the chance to do for someone else what that wonderful woman did for me. Meanwhile, Anne, please tell your readers and let them know that even though there are a lot of hard-hearted people in this world, there are some incredibly generous and loving ones, too. A witness in Rockford, Illinois. Yeah, that's what we're to do. Everywhere in this room, you look around, and I've been here long enough to know most of them, there are people that are wounded, people that struggle. People whose lives are not as smooth as they'd like for you to think that they are. And we have an opportunity over and over again to impact their lives, to sing them a song that touches their hearts, to read them scripture that might draw them closer to God. But most of all, as we get together, you know, when we do all that holy bedlam that we do and we all get in the middle and all, I mean, what a wonderful time. Somebody told me one time that was the only time somebody touched her the entire week, was when somebody came up and gave her a hug at that time. Now, that's sad, but it's also a wonderful privilege to be those people that do that to each other. We are called, unfortunately, we're going to suffer. The life is that way. Becoming a Christian doesn't take all of that away. But what it does is you don't suffer alone. Not only is Jesus with you, but we're with you too. I love this story and where the title of this sermon came from. Farmer, he's out plowing his field one morning and a spring thaw had occurred and there were some really muddy valleys. He went into this one area and his tractor became stuck in the mud and he worked at it all day trying to get it out. And the more he did, the deeper it got into the mud. And finally, he walked out of it and he walked over to his neighbor's house to ask for help. And the neighbor came out and he looked at the situation and he shook his head and he said, "Well, it doesn't look good, but I tell you what, we'll give it a try pulling it out, but if we can't get it out, I'll come sit in the mud with you." Now, here's reality. We all sit in the mud from time to time, sometimes literally. And chances are we probably do know someone who is stuck right now. Have you tried mud sitting with them? Like those geese, it may be the best thing that you can do. Because it really is a test. Each opportunity that you have to sit in the mud with someone who is struggling, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that's you he's talking about, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love that binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You see, the point of all of this, of course, is that the goose may not really be all that silly after all. In fact, we might be the ones who are silly. When we use the sense that God gives a goose as it comes to our lives together, people outside see that, and they want to participate in the flock. That is why this church grows. The word gets out that this is a loving, caring flock. It gets out all over town, and good. Keep it up. Because now is the time that we feed. Now is the time that the flock is invited to dine, to be nourished before we take off again and fly. And so with joy, we come to this table. Let us pray. Our Father, we are called to love one another, to care for one another, to be there with each other. All of those words, they are great words. But what are words without actions? And so, today we embrace the reality that the challenge is always before us. And as your chosen people, wholly loved, clothe us with compassion, kindness, and all those things. We ask you, in this holy time of communion, feed us once again as your flock. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.